This program is presented by ERN. Check it out at ernlive.com.
Well, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor with Chris Duke from Motors TV. Don't forget you can watch us doing our fun TV show, Motors.TV. And that's spelled with a Z, MOTORZ.TV. You can subscribe to YouTube, or you can watch it on one of the over-the-top type channels, Time Warner Cable, Tuff TV, all those different places. But if you go to Motors TV on the web, you can find out where you can listen, and you can just watch it right there. Motors.TV, not .com, .TV. Our show brought to you in part by Dodge, Born Dodge. And, God, I haven't driven my Viper in a couple weeks. What the heck is going on? BJ Colleen is there, and Chris Duke from Motors TV. Cadillac showed a beautiful Cadillac concept car at Pebble Beach. I mean to tell you, I'm looking at it. You guys, Google Cadillac concept.
Escala.
I couldn't possibly say that.
Escala.
Just think Escalade without the aid on it.
There you go. It is Escala. I mean, don't you think it's pretty? It's gorgeous. And
no,
of course,
it is beautiful.
You know, that's what they're supposed to do, make gorgeous machines. And a couple years ago, they showed the CL, two letters, CL, which was in, they've actually had that in a couple of movies, that concept car.
I thought it was a CL, C-I-E-L.
No, it says, oh, you're right. It's pronounced C-L. It's C-I-E-L.
Yeah,
you're right.
C-L.
Yeah, I just saw the, my glasses, I'm looking up at the computer screen, and it just says C-L, and then, but it says that's the pronounced. Anyway. It means sky, by the way, in French.
That's correct. That's correct.
But this new thing called the Escala is just beautiful. And I got to think, you know, that Cadillac, if they could build some of these things they show us, they would continue to do well. I believe they're doing pretty good with the stuff they're building. You know, well, I don't know. You probably know better because you're the one that keeps your thumb on the pulse.
They're in a little crisis right now. What's going on with them? What's going on here? Cadillac's in a little crisis right now. I think they're pricing their vehicles to appeal to the luxury brand market.
Yeah.
But they're not showing the value of that pricing.
Uh-huh.
So they're not getting the sales numbers that they want. And so they keep trying to do different things. And they're having a little fight with their dealers right now.
Oh,
so
that's all the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's all the behind-the-scenes stuff. But it affects the sales of the vehicle, too. Because if you are charging $90,000 for an automobile, but you're not proving the value of that $90,000, who is going to buy that when you've got people who are buying Mercedes and BMW and even Jaguar value is coming up? And I'm not talking about, you know, the cheapness of it. I'm talking about what you're getting for your money. Is it going to be worth it in the long run? We know in 10 years that BMW 7 Series you bought is going to be a nice vehicle still and worth money. Is the Cadillac going to be able to hold that value as well? So it's kind of interesting what's going on. So the V-Series are the ones that are really doing well. About the rest, it's questionable.
So here's my, I guess my point was not from the sales side, because I never look at that. I'm not, my side, as you know, BJ, I'm the enthusiast. So I look at it as like, would I drive that? Would I, at my age and what I still want from a car, you know, the CTS-V, I mean, Cadillac makes a car that is for the total enthusiast. No matter, you know, I mean, I guess being able to afford it is another story, but that is an amazing car. The Cadillac lineup, as I look at them, are all gorgeous machines. Now, to your point, that's why we obviously have this group of people we have on the show. Each one brings a different perspective. Are they selling? Are they delivering on the value that people expect for that much money? That's a whole other story. But I think the vehicles, mechanically, I'm watching what our friend John Hennessy is doing, getting 1,000 horsepower out of the CTS-Vs. I've driven them on racetracks and things. They're phenomenal. The ATS and the ATS-V, V standing for the performance division, you guys. Unbelievable. I mean, these cars, you're like, I'm in a Cadillac right now. So that part of it, awesome. Are they delivering on what people, the expectations for the dollars spent? That's what you were talking about. Yeah, I can understand that.
But, and I'm not disagreeing with you. I think they're beautiful cars. They are absolutely a blast to drive, you know, but But when you come down to it, here's a Cadillac luxury vehicle, and here's a Mercedes, and here's a Jaguar, and here's a Lincoln, and here's whatever else. When you go out and spend that money, that hard-earned money that you worked and toiled long, long hours for, what are you ultimately going to spend your money on?
Right.
So even though Cadillac's making beautiful cars and making great cars, how does it compete in the segment with everybody else that's in there? And that's kind of where they're falling down a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know if it's more of an image problem, if they can't get the image right, if it's the Q connectivity system that people don't like. You know, there's so many different underlying things than just being a beautiful car with a great engine, because BMW, Mercedes, they're all beautiful cars. They all have great engines. That's my argument here if we're going to talk about the business side.
Now, I also wonder, and Chris, maybe you can weigh on this too, the technology today, does it scare away... I mean, even though technology is just awesome, does it scare away the people that are the ones that buy the $100,000 Cadillac, BMW, Mercedes, and all that? Because I got in something the other day. I don't even remember what it was, but I got right back out of it and said, I don't even want to drive that. That thing was, oh, I know it. It was a Mercedes. I'm sorry. It was a Mercedes. I got into it, and I looked down, and there was like a mouse, and there was, I could not figure out how to turn the radio, the heater. There was nothing. It was like, all right, well, this car is way too advanced for me. So I got right back, and I'm 56 years old. You know, I mean, imagine my dad, who's still alive and driving, getting in, 89 years old. He would do the same, get right back out. I need to be able to figure out intuitively out of, you know, I guess human machine interface, how to drive this car other than steering it. I don't even know how to put it in. They don't even know how to start them. Where's the key? Nope, no key anymore. You know, I keep on stabbing the key into the, you know, these different holes, and it's like, nope. And then a little thing comes on and says, you idiot, push the button. You know, so does technology scare away the older folks? What do you think, Chris?
I think it does, and I've got a good example of that, which is my mom, who loves Honda Civics, and she's driven them since forever. And a few years back, when they came out with the all-digital dash, she bought the new one just because she needed to, and she did not like it. She couldn't even understand it, and so I had to sit in the car with her and explain to her what the, you know, how to work it. And it's the same thing that you're talking about right now. You get into a vehicle, and it's too many changes.
Yeah.
And so what do you do? You get in and start talking to it. what's the first step? So,
well,
I don't know. I think it does. Yeah.
Go ahead, BJ.
I'm just going to say that the biggest problem here is that we're at an interim stage. We're interim between us driving cars and then the cars driving themselves. So you True. Have to have this technology. And unfortunately, we're all caught up in the middle of, you know, so much confusion that if we wait 10 more years, you know, keep your car. If you're miserable with the new technology, keep your car another 10 years, and then you won't have to worry about it because the car will drive itself.
Another example, that my dad is 89. He has Regis Philbin's old, matter of fact, what is it? 1999 Jaguar. He has a 2006 Jaguar. They're identical, except the new one is a little too electronically advanced, so he drives his old one, but he keeps a new one in the garage. We'll take a little break. You're listening to The Drive. Last segment for the hour, and then next week we're going to have Jay Leno. I ask him about technology, so you want to check out next week's show as well. You're listening to The Drive. We'll be right back after this commercial.
This show is presented in part by Dodge. Born Dodge. We'll be right back.